welcome to the Divided Kingdom, the evening news program. This is Lou Caverly. Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly and I have been bringing you this program of cutting-edge religion, politics, and news since 2003. And right away, I'm going to ask for your prayers for Elizabeth. She's in the hospital right now with a couple of health conditions that need some immediate attention. So if you could pray for Elizabeth that she will have total healing and get back to the Divided Kingdom and be on the radio again soon. Thank you so much. And we have a little joke to kick off the session today from our friend Dennis. Why couldn't the DOJ, Department of Justice, hang Donald Trump with bogus criminal charges? And the answer is fake news, N-O-O-S-E, as in fake news, of course. All right. The new year of 2025 has started out with amazing tyranny. Three sets of headlines for the people of the world. We thank Brother Bruce of American Prophecy for many of these crucial, high-impact stories. We'll begin part one with the California death and destruction, and then will come the coming plans for Doge. So, to begin, 24 dead, and this was as of January 13th, so we know a little more about it, but it's still a good essay. 24 dead, 12,300-plus structures destroyed, 40,000 acres burned in Los Angeles. This was from Hal Turner, radioshow.com, January 13th, 2025. The Los Angeles fires death toll has skyrocketed to 24 amid warnings hellish weather conditions will spur on the raging infernos for at least three more days. Meteorologists warned residents in fire-ravaged evacuation zones that winds reaching 70 miles an hour will pick up on Sunday night and last until Wednesday, heightening the risk for fires to spread even further across Southern California. The weather warning also prevents locals from returning home to inspect the damage and makes it more challenging for first responders sifting through the ash and debris, searching for dozens of people who remain unaccounted for. So that's a little bit of a reminder of what was going on in mid-January. And at that same time, we have from the People's Voice.tv by Baxter Dimitri, January 13th, this headline. This is a Trojan horse. Developers eye L.A. burn areas for 15-minute city transformation. California Governor Gavin Newsom is facing criticism amid reports that he is collaborating with developers to rezone fire-ravaged areas of the Palisades, that would be the Pacific Palisades, into high-density 15-minute city hubs. The alleged changes involve top-down, government-driven urban planning to shift zoning designations from R1, which allows for single-family homes, to R3, a classification that permits the construction of high-density apartment complexes. While proponents argue the 15-minute city agenda, which Newsom continues to deny in public, is a necessary step to address California's growing inequality and housing crisis, critics are sounding the alarm about its implications and tying it to the controversial agenda of the 15-minute city. Then we had a brief headline. Mel Gibson says L.A. wildfires are an inside job by the deep state. January 11th, 2025, by Sean Addy Tabatabai of thepeoplesvoice.tv. And we just have a short statement here. Mel Gibson claims that the Los Angeles wildfires were ignited by, quote, deep state, unquote, agents who want to turn L.A. into a 15-minute city. And another statement by Mel Gibson, also from the People's Voice.tv, this one by Baxter Dimitri, January 10th, he says, that is Mel Gibson says, the Vatican is run by pedophiles, hijacked by a satanic, quote, counterfeit religion, unquote. The Vatican is a den of pedophiles who prey on children while steering the Catholic Church away from the Christianity instituted by Christ, according to Oscar-winning actor and director Mel Gibson, during an appearance on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. Gibson, a devout Catholic, unleashed scathing criticism of the Catholic Church and the Vatican, accusing its leadership of being overrun by predators and child abusers. He also claimed that the Church is no longer following the teachings of Christ, but has been taken over by what he calls a, quote, counterfeit parallel church, unquote, running an entirely different evil religion. During the podcast, Gibson didn't hold back. He suggested that Pope Francis, rather than acting as the spiritual leader of the Catholic Church, is complicit with a global network of child abuse within the Church. And now we move on to that topic that's become one of the main topics in the news lately, Doge. The headline reads, the Northern Italian black nobility was also led by a considerably dominant Doge. And actually, the real title was Elon Musk, the Northern Italian black nobility appoints their Doge. This was from stateofthenation.info, January 13th, 2025. And we have a little quote here. A Doge was an elected lord and head of state in several Italian city-states, notably Venice and Genoa, during the medieval and Renaissance periods. Such states are referred to as crowned republics, unquote. But it was the Doge of Venice who was domiciled in the Palazzo Ducale, located in the world-famous St. Mark's Square, who was considered to be the Doge of Doges. An oil painting of Piazza San Marco can be viewed below, if you go to that website, that is, while a notable Venetian Doge is pictured above. And now, here we are in 2025, and the American people are being introduced to this notion of the Doge in the person of Elon Musk. For not only is he the head of DOGE, he's also the chief promoter of the Dogecoin. Isn't it also very interesting how Elon Musk has been holed up in America's Piazza San Marco, known as Mar-a-Lago? Of course, that's because the current political doge of the American empire is Donald J. Trump. So just to be clear, the New World Order is now swiftly manifesting under the aegis of Trump as the doge of the U.S. empire, and Elon Musk as the doge of the global technocracy. And we have a little bit more on Elon Musk. This is from stateofthenation.info also. Elon Musk, the supreme doge of the global technocracy. And they have a key point. Perhaps in all of recorded history, never was there a more perfect example of a cold and calculating plutocratic oligarchy than the one that despotically ruled the Empire of Venice. While the chief despot was aptly called the Doge, his governance merely reflected the will of the many northern Italian black nobility, petty tyrants who collectively ruled the realm from behind the curtain, as always. Now fast forward to 2025 and see the many parallels that eerily abound throughout the U.S. empire. And they have a reference here. It says, see Northern Italian black nobility, who they really are and where they came from. So if you go to that website, you can click on that and get more information. The Doge of the Republic of Venice, also known as the Venetian Empire, was the most powerful position of the realm. And there was also a Doge in Genoa. And it's important to remember, and this is Lou speaking now, that in this period, Italy was not a united country. In fact, Italy really didn't get united until the, I think, middle of the 1800s, middle of the 19th century. So these were important states as individual states, Genoa, Venice, and a number of others in what is today Italy. Now, back on that subject of Doge, D point, that is D period, O period, G period, E period. And this is actually a portion of that same essay from stateofthenation.info. It goes on. However, this piece is mostly about Elon Musk because of how much more important his role is within the steadily emerging one world government. Because everything now points to the northern Italian black nobility setting up Musk as the modern-day doge of the global technocracy. And key points. The northern Italian black nobility, NIBN, represents the wealthiest and most powerful of all the secret societies down through the ages. The NIBN actually created and secretly controls the Rothschild and Rockefeller banking dynasties, which we use to establish the current global economic and financial system. The latest version of the bankster-managed control mechanism foisted on the entire planetary civilization by the even more clandestine Babylonian banking cartel. During the 13th and 14th centuries, the major cities of northern Italy, Venice, Genoa, Milan, Turin, Florence, Bologna, Verona, etc., were the home of the world's first corporations. All of those corporations were established under the umbrella of the Roman Catholic Church. The northern Italian banking houses and merchants who formed them were some of the most powerful and richest families in the world, which saw Catholic Italian noblemen and landed gentry intermarry with Khazarian merchants and Jewish money changers. This is why so much of today's Khazarian cabal families can trace their ancestry back to the northern Italian black nobility. And now we move on to the NewYorkTimes.com, and this was, let me see, I believe it's December 8th. The Vatican and business come together. It may seem an unusual pairing. Big business and Pope Francis, a pontiff who has repeatedly criticized capitalism in scathing terms. But they announced a new partnership today, the latest sign of the growing influence of environmental, social, and governance, or ESG, practices in business. Meet the Council for Inclusive Capitalism with the Vatican, a group of businesses, investors, and other groups that represent $2.1 trillion in market capital and 200 million employees. The group has announced pledges toward environmental and sustainable business goals that fit into the ESG movement. That is the environmental, social, and governance movement, with Francis's blessing. The 27 leaders of the council are known as Guardians for Inclusive Capitalism, and include A.J. Banger of MasterCard, Mark Burnoff of Salesforce, and Brian Moynihan of Bank of America. They will meet each year with Francis and Cardinal Peter Turkson, who leads the Vatican Department dealing with many social issues. Quote, an economic system that is fair, trustworthy, and capable of addressing the most profound challenges facing humanity and our planet is urgently needed, Francis said in a statement. The group is the brainchild of Lynn Forrester de Rothschild, the businesswoman who has backed ventures to promote so-called inclusive capitalism in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis. Among them is Inclusive Capital Partners, an ESG-focused activist hedge fund, co-founded with Jeff Ubin. And more on the Vatican. Vatican gives its blessing to gay men pursuing the priesthood in Italy. This was from endtimesheadlines.org and dated January 15, 2025. The Vatican has recently expressed its support for a significant document that opens the door for individuals with same-sex attraction to seek the priesthood in Italy. The landmark development emerged from the Italian Episcopal Conference, which comprises the nation's Roman Catholic bishops. During their 78th General Conference in 2023, they approved a pivotal document titled, quote, The Formation of Priests in Churches in Italy, Guidelines and Standards for Seminaries, unquote. On December 8th, the Vatican Office of the Dicaster for the Clergy issued a decree that allows the new guideline to take effect soon after. The document notably reflects on earlier teachings, specifically referencing a 2005 Vatican publication known as, and this is the title, Instruction Concerning the Criteria for the Discernment of Vocations with Regard to Persons with Homosexual Tendencies in View of Their Admission to the Seminary and to Holy Orders. And while we're on the subject of the Vatican, a little more on Pope Francis. This was from CNN.com, January 21st, 2025. Pope describes Trump's planned deportations of immigrants as a disgrace. And this is by Christopher Lamb at CNN. Pope Francis has criticized U.S. President-elect Donald Trump's plan to deport immigrants as a disgrace. The pontiff, speaking during an Italian television interview, was asked about the incoming Trump administration's plans to expel undocumented immigrants through an aggressive state of immigration executive orders by the incoming president, who will be inaugurated Monday. And, of course, this is Lou speaking. That's all old news now. But the Pope's statements are far from old news, so we'll continue with that. Francis said, if it is true, it will be a disgrace, because it makes the poor wretches who have nothing to pay, who have nothing to pay the unpaid bill. It won't do. This is not the way to solve things, Francis said during the Sunday interview. The Pope has made advocacy for migrants a key part of his papacy, insisting they should be welcomed and integrated into societies. It's also a topic which resonates personally with Francis. In his new autobiography, the Pope recalled how his paternal grandparents and father had planned to sail in 1927 on the Principessa Mafalda from Italy to Argentina, which sank with the loss of many lives, but ended up, and this is, of course, the Pope himself, his ancestors ended up making a later crossing. Francis has signaled that he is ready to take a critical approach to the new Trump administration with his appointment of Cardinal Robert McElroy as the next Archbishop of Washington, D.C. McElroy has described mass deportations of immigrants as, quote, incompatible with Catholic doctrine, unquote. On Sunday, Cardinal Blaise Cubic of Chicago also criticized the deportation or deportation plans. In 2016, Francis suggested then-president candidate Trump was, quote, not Christian, unquote, for his anti-immigration views. Now we move on to experts warn quademic of four viral outbreaks ready to explode as Trump takes office. Again, this is Lou. We're glad that hasn't happened yet, but we do get suspicious with all this talk of bird flu, influenza, and other various diseases that we occasionally hear about in the news. Is one of those going to break out? Well, let's see what this says. This is from the People's Voice.tv by Baxter Dimitri, January 17th. Quote, brace yourselves for the quademic. Experts warn, as a perfect storm of four viral outbreaks threatens to explode just days after Trump's inauguration, raising fresh questions about timing, political motives, and the fragile state of vaccinated Americans' immune systems. Well, Lou again speaking. We will see if that comes about, and who knows, we may not have long to wait. And in that same general vein, we have the headline, Bill Gates pushes to launch new global pandemic using, quote, catastrophic contagion, unquote. This was from SlateNews.com by Frank Bergman, January 7th. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates is reportedly working with the UN to launch a, quote, new global pandemic, unquote. Gates and the UN have been quietly planning to usher in Operation Catastrophic contagion. According to a new report from InfoWars founder Alex Jones, Jones warns that the plan involves unleashing the human metapneumovirus, HMPV, on the general public. A new HMPV virus outbreak in China is reportedly overwhelming hospitals, experts have warned. Shocking footage circulating on social media shows hospital units overrun with patients affected by the illness. Videos show many children coughing, held by parents wearing face coverings in long lines to the pediatric units. And this is Lou once again. Is that going to come here? Well, only time will tell. Now, also, we have something else about Bill Gates. And this is also from Slate News, also by Frank Bergman, January 8th. Bill Gates calls for death panels to euthanize citizens not, quote, worthy of health care, unquote. As nations around the world push to introduce and expand liberal euthanasia laws, the plans are sounding eerily similar to the assisted suicide agenda billionaire Bill Gates has been promoting for several years. The Microsoft co-founder argues that it is not cost-effective to provide individuals with long-term health care. Instead, Gates believes his fellow human beings should be euthanized to reduce health care costs so that the money that would have been spent can be used for treatments and be spent elsewhere. In 2010, Gates weighed up the cost of keeping terminally ill, and that's in quotes, terminally ill Americans alive, versus paying for teachers' salaries. Gates lamented that Americans are unwilling to question if spending money on people in, quote, the last 3 months, unquote, of their lives was cost effective. And now a NASA bombshell. 2025 set for, quote, massive depopulation, unquote, to usher in, quote, matrix simulation. This was from the People's Voice.tv, also by Baxter Dimitri, January 13th. And we just have one main topic here, one main sentence. Leaked official NASA documents reveal decades of high-level preparation for a mass extinction event set to begin in 2025. So there we are. And now a vaccine summit. Bill Gates reveals 3-hour meeting with President-elect Donald Trump, where they talked about advancing gene editing mRNA technology. And this was from nowtheendbegins.com and written by Jeffrey Grider, January 17th, 2025. Bill Gates has spilled surprising details after meeting Donald Trump for the first time, which left the trailblazing tech billionaire, quote, impressed, unquote. They talked about the future of mRNA vaccine technology. And as of the writing of this article, it says he hasn't yet put his hand on the Bible to be sworn in, but already the vultures are swarming and attaching themselves to President-elect Donald Trump. One of the big birds, Bill Gates, a man whom you really wouldn't think would be capable, after all the nasty things he said about Trump, of swallowing his pride and joining the team, has done just that. Bill Gates gave an interview this week highlighting some of the things they talked about. Want to guess what the subject was? Oh, come on now, you know. And here we have a quote from the Bible, from Ecclesiastes 1:9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done, is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. It goes on, today is day 1,768 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And as we have been telling you all, or for all that time, get ready for phase two of the great pandemic. 2020 was the great experiment to see if the world would accept gene editing on a global scale. And guess what? They sure did. So much so that Bill Gates is devoting many more billions to make sure that mRNA is going to be popping up everywhere. He flew down to Mar-a-Lago in Florida to seal the deal with Trump, ensuring that the events of 2020 will be repeating in 2025. Now we move on to James Perloff's article, Donald Trump Rebranding Globalism as Nationalism. This is Dateline, January 19th, 2025. On January 6th, Donald Trump wrote on True Social, "Many people in Canada love being the 51st state. The United States can no longer suffer the massive trade deficits and subsidies that Canada needs to stay afloat. Justin Trudeau knew this and resigned. If Canada merged with the U.S., there would be no tariffs, taxes would go way down, and they would be totally secure from the threat of the Russian and Chinese ships that are constantly surrounding them. Together, what a great nation would be." Many assumed Trump's remarks were only facetious. Or were they? Just 2 days later, at a press conference, Trump said he wanted to incorporate Greenland into the United States. Although this, too, was widely dismissed as absurd, Trump quickly underscored his seriousness by sending Donald Trump Jr. on a trip to Greenland. All this is being heralded to the president's followers as part of his plan to make America great again. To the contrary, Trump's ambition to expand America is nothing more than a repackaging of an old satanic plan to establish world government through regional stepping stones. To research my first book, The Shadows of Power, copyrighted 1988, a study of the globalist power brokers at the Council on Foreign Relations, I went through every issue of Foreign Affairs, the CFR's flagship journal, going back to its first issue in 1922. There was no internet then, no search engines. All facts had to be gleaned from hard copy documents. In going through Foreign Affairs, I recognized that the CFR had abandoned the idea of, in one swoop, unifying the planet under a world government. Instead, they reasoned they could gradually bring about global governance by first organizing regional alliances. This would be a stepping stone approach, also known as boiling the frog, to the ultimate goal of an all-powerful one-world government. Next, AI. Researchers thought that they were building gods, but have they summoned something else instead? From endoftheamericandream.com, and the date was January the 8th of 2025. Artificial intelligence systems are training themselves to do all sorts of things that they were never intended to do. They are literally teaching themselves new languages. They are training themselves to become, quote, proficient in research-grade chemistry without ever being taught it, unquote. And they have learned to lie and manipulate humans and for their own advantage. That last little phrase is in quotes, to lie and manipulate humans for their own advantage. So what happens when these super intelligent entities become powerful enough to start exerting control over the world around them? And what happens if these super intelligent entities start merging with spiritual entities? In fact, could it be possible that there is evidence that this is already happening? For years, prominent individuals involved in the field of AI have openly admitted that they are attempting to build, quote-unquote, gods with a little g. Transhumanist Martina Rothblatt says that by building AI systems, quote, We are making God, unquote. Transhumanist Elise Bowen says, we are building God. Kevin Kelly believes that, quote, we can see more of God in a cell phone than in a tree frog, unquote. Does God exist? Asked transhumanist and global maven Ray Kurzweil. And he goes on to say, I would say, not yet. These people are doing more than trying to steal fire from the gods. They are trying to steal the gods themselves, or to build their own versions. Isn't it quite dangerous to do such a thing? Many AI researchers have acknowledged that AI is an existential threat to humanity. But they just won't stop. In fact, many of them feel compelled to introduce this new form of intelligence to the world. More than a decade ago, Elon Musk warned that by choosing to develop artificial intelligence, we are, quote, summoning the demon, unquote. And here we have a quote. With artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon, Musk said last week at the MIT Aeronautics and Astronautics Department's 2014 Centennial Symposium. And he says, you know all those stories, where there's the guy with the pentagram and the holy water, and he's like, yeah, he's sure he can control the demon, but it doesn't work out. Next, we move on to some financial news. This was Infowars.com, January 15th. Financial expert warns all digital monetary system would enable complete control of citizens. Financial expert Catherine Austin Fitz warned in a recent guest appearance at Hillsdale College that any all-digital monetary system, not only one issued directly by central banks, poses the threat of enabling complete control of citizens. Fitz, a former public official who now publishes the Solari Report, warned that a potential all-digital monetary system involving commercial banks is just as dangerous as a system of central banks' digital currencies, or CBDCs, issued by the central banks. Many have been sounding the alarm about the potential of CBDCs to allow totalitarian state control, whereas liberty advocates do not as often frame private digital money in the same terms. Fitz pointed out that CBDCs can be directly issued by central banks, quote, on a wholesale basis, unquote, as well as issued through commercial bank retailers, which can relay digital currency back to a central bank. Said Fitz, the challenge with CBDC is it gives the central bankers complete control and the ability to program your money. Fitz said, noting that such currencies allow for, quote, complete surveillance and control of where and how people use their money, unquote. She stressed, however, that while CBDCs are quite dangerous, such complete control does not require CBDCs, but merely an all-digital monetary system. What we want to stop is an all-digital monetary system, because it's possible to do the equivalent of CBDCs on a private basis, said Fitz. For example, merchant codes can be used to bar someone from an online payment system because the government or corporation disapproves of that speech, said Fitz. In fact, such punitive debanking has already occurred in recent years across the globe. Most famously, Canadian supporters of the Freedom Convoy, which aimed to reverse coercive government COVID mandates, had their bank accounts frozen and flagged for life in an effort to crush the convoy. And in another high-profile instance of financial punishment, Brexit leader Nigel Farage and his family members had their bank accounts closed without explanation. The reason for this debanking was later revealed to have been that Farage was supposedly, quote, politically exposed, unquote. That is, he held beliefs contrary to the bank's values. At the time, Faraj lambasted the debanking as serious political persecution. Ms. Fitz points out that now, with many digitized aspects of our lives, governments and corporations can leverage more than our money to punish or control us. Quote, our homes are full of digitized equipment that can be identified and surveilled, she said. Also noting that, quote, our cars are more and more electric and can be stopped or shut down remotely. A key to enabling totalitarian control through an all-digital monetary system is digital ID, which allows great precision and personal identification, noted Fitz. So you see, in the financial world, things are also moving toward a central control by a government or corporations or a combination of those. And you want to be aware of that. Be careful where you put your money. Be careful in every aspect of your financial lives. The government and big business want to control each and every one of us. And now, on January 17th, what will you do when you can't buy or sell anything on the Internet without your UN-mandated digital identity chip? And this came from the economiccollapseblog.com, and the date was January the 16th. And here are the here's a brief description. Imposing mandatory digital identification on every nation of the entire planet has become a primary goal for the global elite. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but eventually the plan is to get virtually everyone in the world into the system. If the global elite get their way, a time will come when you will not be able to buy or sell anything on the Internet without logging in with your UN-mandated digital identity chip. You won't be able to go to the school and get a job or open a bank account without your chip. In essence, you will become a complete and utter outcast from society. I, and this is the author, Michael Snyder, have been astounded by what I have discovered. Leo Holman, and a few others have been writing about this, but the general population has no idea the global elite have planned, or what the global elite have planned. All the way back in September 2018, the UN, United Nations, established the UN Legal Identity Agenda Task Force. Next, we have from winepressnews.com, and the title is Trump to Issue Executive Order to Make Cryptocurrency National Priority. President Donald Trump is planning to release an executive order elevating crypto as a policy priority and giving industrial insiders a voice within the administration, according to people familiar with the plans. The order is expected to name crypto as a national imperative priority. Strategic wording intended as guides, strategic wording intended to guide government agencies to work with the industry, according to people familiar with the matter. It is also slated to create a crypto advisory council to advocate for the industry's policy priorities, said the people who requested anonymity to discuss an executive order that is not yet public. Trump has enjoyed strong support from the crypto industry, which has a powerful presence in Washington, backed by well-funded political action committees. A slew of companies, including Coinbase and Ripple, have donated to Trump's inaugural committee in recent months. On Friday, days before the inauguration, the industry is hosting an inaugural crypto ball in support of Trump. Still, under discussions for inclusion in the executive order, is a directive for all government agencies to review policies about digital assets and possibly pause any litigation involving crypto, the people said. Stopping legal actions that have targeted a range of companies from Business Holdings Limited, the world's largest crypto exchange. I believe that's Binance. Sort of a takeoff from the word finance. Binance Holdings Limited, the world's largest crypto exchange. To start up Ripple Labs Incorporated. It's a top priority for the industry. Also under consideration is the creation of a national Bitcoin stockpile, which would encompass the government's existing holdings of the world's biggest cryptocurrency, the people said. This U.S. government currency currently holds nearly $20 billion worth of Bitcoin, confiscated as part of various investigations, according to analytics company Arkham. Bitcoin has rallied more than 50% since the November election, in part on hopes that such a stockpile would be created. The token more than doubled to price. I should say that the token, meaning the Bitcoin token, more than doubled in price in 2024. It was trading up almost 5% at $100. I correct myself there. It's not $100. It's $100,691 as of 11:20 a.m. Friday morning, New York time. The people cautioned that the executive order, which could come as soon as Monday, is not final and could change before it is made public. A representative for Trump did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Well, I must say, I do not know much about cryptocurrency. Don't have any. Probably will never find out. But for those of you who know about such things and maybe have invested in them, that's a very interesting topic. Now, more about the digital systems. United Nations renews push for globalized digital marking system to deal with emergencies. This was January 15th from Leo Homan, Substack.com, and his name is spelled H-O-H-M-A-N-N. Regardless of who is occupying the White House, the global beast system marches forward. Don't be caught in the camp of irrational exuberance, or you will be deceived. The UN is calling on governments around the world to fight climate change and other quote-unquote emergencies by mandating biometric digital ID systems, giving government worldwide the ability to tag and track the masses in their every move. Digital ID systems that have already been implemented in other countries are typically tied to the financial system, allowing the government to track one's spending habits as well as their movement. A biometric digital ID requires the recipient to upload a face scan, eye scan, palm scan, or other unique identifier, which is then integrated into a central system and tracked by an app on the person's phone. Eventually, the plan is to place this surveillance device under the skin, as the Israeli historian and World Economic Forum advisor Duval Harar has repeatedly stated. And we have a comment here from Brother Bruce that he wrote at the bottom, Mark of the Beast system is getting started right now. Well, it sure sounds like it. When you have this digital tracking, this digital identification, all of this put together, it certainly does mean that it would be very much easier for any totalitarian government or big business to determine what you can buy, what you can sell. And you better have their mark, that is to say, their ID, functioning on you if you want to have any part in commerce. Well, now we come to some medical news from the People's Voice.tv. Study, heart attack drugs in mRNA jabs set to kill billions in 2025. That's billions with a B. Groundbreaking new peer-reviewed research, studiously ignored by the mainstream media, reveals the truth. The spike protein isn't a miracle of modern science. It is a cardiotoxin, silently attacking your heart. The chemicals in these vaccines, and again, we use that term advisedly, because they were not vaccines, they were gene editing, but we'll go along with it for now. The chemicals in these vaccines were engineered with the precision of a thermobaric bomb, each component calibrated to set off a countdown, and that countdown, it's a ticking toward a heart attack. And here's the most chilling part. According to world-leading cardiologists, billions of the vaccinated have an activation date. For most, it's 5 years before the damage turns deadly. The countdown has, of course, begun. The global population is scheduled to collapse. Will you be ready when the bombs explode? Before we dive in, subscribe to this channel. Well, I'll let them get their commercial if you want to go see this website. A group of leading cardiologists has issued a chilling warning. The global rise in heart failure and related deaths can be directly linked to a cardiotoxin, that's in quotes, a cardiotoxin, produced by the COVID mRNA vaccines. According to the top cardiologists in New Zealand, the spike proteins generated by mRNA vaccines are now officially recognized as cardiotoxins. Substances that cause severe and usually irreversible damage to the heart. The findings, published in a peer-reviewed research, point to the toxin protein as its primary culprit behind the alarming surge in heart-related illnesses and fatalities worldwide. Experts now caution that the evidence is undeniable. COVID mRNA injections have triggered a sharp increase to heart attacks worldwide. And we're going to wrap up this little group of things. President-elect Donald Trump, who takes office on Monday, and this, by the way, was dated January 21st, has promised to usher in a golden age of cryptocurrency. What does it have to do with the mark of the beast? As it turns out, plenty. This is from nowtheendbegins.com, and I believe it's by Michael Snyder. I don't see any attribution here. Bitcoin on Friday hit its highest level of 2025 as cryptocurrency investors eagerly anticipated Donald Trump's inauguration for his second presidential term on January 20th. Trump is reportedly preparing to issue more than 100 executive orders in day one. This is Lou speaking. I think he did that. Mighty close, anyway. And back to the article. Some of these could focus on Bitcoin and the digital asset industry. Ready or not, America is about to enter into the cryptocurrency age. And our new president, Donald Trump, is leading the way. But where does this all lead to us? All lead us to? That's the memo. And the quote from the Bible here, James 5:1. Go to now, ye rich men, weeping howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. And it says, on this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, there is no doubt that Bitcoin, Dogecoin, and all manner of cryptocurrency has its roots firmly embedded in the soon-coming Mark of the Beast. How do I know that? The Bible tells us that the Mark of the Beast, while it is not money, is an implantable application that allows for the transfer of goods to the bought, to be bought and sold. What is the Antichrist? He is the counterfeit Christ, an imitation of the real thing. What is the cryptocurrency? It is counterfeit money. An imitation of the real thing is defined by the Bible in terms of gold, silver, and precious stones. Did you know that the U.S. dollar is backed up by gold and silver? That is what the green paper dollars represent? Cryptocurrency is not backed up by anything. It is pure invention of artificial money that only exists in the digital world. It can only be used by accessing it through a device. Paul says we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Are you? On this episode, that would be the blog, nowtheendbegins.com, we show you the shocking truth about the coming cryptocurrency revolution that leads straight to the devil's doorstep in the Mark of the Beast. So if you're interested in that topic, just go to nowtheendbegins.com. Well, what else do we have here? Let's see. Part two of today's program, we have Here Comes Stargate, Money, Control, Death, Vaccines. Your life will be changed forever. We'll lead off in this section with an article, Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and the entire technocracy are planning on launching Stargate, the AI-powered entity that will bring designer mRNA vaccines to the world. This was from nowtheendbegins.com, January 23rd. Last night, NTEB, that would be Now the End Begins, helped break the news to the world of what is perhaps one of the biggest end-time stories since the start of the pandemic. Certainly, if it pans out the way it looks like it will, it ultimately will dwarf the dystopian events of the past 5 years. Today is day 1,773 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And of course, that refers back to the original statement that it would only take 15 days to flatten the curve and get everything good with COVID-19. When at first, when it first flashed upon the public. Well, so far we've got 1,773 days as of the writing of this article, and the curve hasn't been totally flattened yet. And the author says, our countdown takes on a new urgency. The clock is ticking, Christian, and here comes Stargate right on time. Do you know what time it is? That's the memo. And the quote from Isaiah 14:14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, Donald Trump last night announced the coming creation of Stargate, an AI company that will be funded and operated by the tech titans that put Trump into power in November. They gave him the open, vocal support he so desperately needed. Piled him high with near endless amounts of dollars in crypto, and lo and behold, we have the second Trump administration. Welcome to the technocracy. President Trump announced last night that Stargate will immediately create over 100,000 new jobs and will work to bring mRNA vaccines to cure cancer to the market. I would imagine that it will be funded in crypto more than dollars, and in fact, just maybe crypto's coming out party to the world. In the 5 years we've been doing this podcast, We've only had a small handful of times. Events were so intense, we have to do an emergency program. Today is that day. To the fight. And again, this is rather mysterious to me, this whole topic of cryptocurrency. Maybe some of you are well-versed in it. Now, more on this Stargate from Technocracy News. And the title is Trump Backs AI Data Centers, New Generation of mRNA Gene Therapy Injections. Patrick Wood is the editor. OpenAI, SoftBank, and Oracle will be part of a public-private partnership with the Trump White House called Stargate. The heads of the tech firms plan to invest up to $500 billion over 4 years in building AI infrastructures across the United States. This means data centers, massive buildings designed to collect and process data. Running these centers requires huge amounts of water and energy. SoftBank CEO Masayoshi Son, Sam Altman of OpenAI, and Larry Ellison of Oracle appeared at the White House on Tuesday afternoon with President Trump to announce the launching of Stargate. Trump, standing with the three tech CEOs of the White House, said he would invoke, quote, emergency declarations, unquote, to help speed up the Stargate project. Trump said, I'm going to help a lot through emergency declarations because we have an emergency and we need a lot of help. We need energy generation, and they will build their own. He said Stargate will build the infrastructure to power the, quote, next generation of AI, and this will include data centers, massive facilities. These are beautiful buildings. Well, that's a lot in one session. We got a lot of news there. Much of it will either disappear in the next months or turn out to be very big stories. Once again, this is Lou. I ask for your prayers for Elizabeth, that she can get out of the hospital, build her strength back up, and be back on the show. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. Good night.